Welcome to the Gatecast.
We're off to see the wizard.
Presented by Alan and Mike.
Lucy, I'm home.
I was going to do my living room like this.
I am not Lucy.
Well, sir, my recommendation is that anyone attempting to leave the mountain should be shot on sight.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Gatecast episode, at least 44 by my count.
Yeah, we do this every week, and I always chime in saying, I ain't got a clue, mate. I only edit the damn thing.
No, it's episode 43.
Is it? Right.
No, 41. Yes. It's episode 43 because you uploaded One False Step as episode 40.
And we've got two in the can. This is 43.
No, I have the DVD with 19, 20, 21, 22 written on, so right. It counts. So, yes. Definitively, episode 43.
Season 2 finale. There you go.
Yes. Part 1 of 2.
You know, they are not numbers. They have names.
Out of Mind. Part 1 of 2. Although it doesn't actually say part 1 of 2 in the box.
Well, they missed an opportunity to make you buy another volume, didn't they?
You really think, given the cliffhanger on this ep, if memory serves, that people wouldn't have bought another volume?
Well, you never know, do you?
They're just like, oh, screw it, I can't be bothered with you.
Well, if I had any sense, I wouldn't have bought the volumes. I'd have waited for the season box sets.
And now you can get a slimline box set of the whole thing for like under $100, I think.
Yep.
For your Stargate fans out there, I think certain jungle-themed websites may have... I think it's fewer special features, but our jungle-themed website may have a slightly cheaper version of the entire thing if you don't already own it. Although, frankly, if you don't already own it, this podcast is probably rather confusing.
Yeah, it has to be said that there are better podcasts out there if you're new to this franchise.
Are you a fan of science fiction and fantasy? Do you enjoy genre television and comic books? Then you should be listening to the Sci-Fi Dig podcast found at scifidig.com. Where every week I discuss an episode of genre television. Sci-Fi Dig, it's not just a podcast, it's a community. SciFiDig.com.
I'm pressing play in 3, 2, 1, play. Line pauses momentarily. And we open on something, a pod raising up from dry ice. That's, ooh.
You never beat dry ice.
It is the season finale, but they've certainly splurged on the props here.
But either CGI'd out of the wires, and it levitating.
Yeah, well, the small wires to the side, but the big, thick, chunky one. Actually, I don't believe they've shown really anything levitating. Did I explain how the girl's engines work?
You don't need to, do you, really?
You know, it's a spaceship, it flies.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, she's playing with some decks there. You can even see the graphic equalizer. And Jack looks damp.
He does, doesn't he? He thought it was a tanning booth.
Is it just me, or is it cold in here?
It's okay, Colonel O'Neill. You're in the SGC. You're gonna be fine.
What the hell did they have him wearing? Because those eyes look seriously bloodshot. I'm wondering, are they contacts? Did they put an irritant in or what?
Well, they've got to be contacts. They wouldn't
seriously abuse their
actor. A little bit of citric acid in the eye. Oh, still, it won't hurt much.
I'm sorry. We splurged on the sort of cryonics thing. We can't afford the effects budget, but you contacts. Take this orange.
Dr. Daniel Jackson, Captain Samantha Carter, and a Jaffa named Tilk are all deceased.
Well, that's a bit blunt, isn't it?
As a matter of fact, I imagine everyone you ever knew is probably gone now.
You see, Colonel, the year is now 2077.
And Captain Buck Rogers is...
That's gotta be the shortest teaser ever.
That was a quick one. By season 2 standards, that was lightning fast.
That was a minute and 51 seconds. As I recall, the last couple of episodes, we've been averaging 3.5 to 4.5 minutes.
Yeah.
So, additional thing at this point. Story by Jonathan Glassner and Brad Wright are two main showrunners. Teleplay by Jonathan and directed by Martin Wood.
Yep. one hell of a behind the scenes there.
Excerpts by people that, frankly, I cannot be bothered reading it.
Well, we've covered them all before.
This is kind of a clip show, isn't it?
It is. That's what's surprising about a season finale, that off of it is recycled material.
So they could afford to spoil the effects budget because they didn't have to actually shoot that much. So, oh, Terrell. Now, I wonder, is she getting a credit because she's appearing in archive footage?
No, she's in this episode.
Oh. What's with the green?
That's some modern futuristic medicine. It's luminous green.
Is Suan Braun that girl that's standing on the right?
No, Suan Braun plays Hathor.
Oh, do you know it? Because you usually know the actors, the principal.
I know,
guest
yeah.
stars.
Yep.
Understandable. You've been in cryogenic hibernation for almost 79 years.
Kind of familiar.
She does, yeah. Samantha Ferris. She was in Supernatural for a dozen or so episodes.
Not season 5, I trust.
Yeah, I think she was.
I haven't seen season 5 yet.
She was also in seasons probably 3 and 4 as well.
You were sent back to the Stargate already frozen. We're guessing by some advanced culture. Your CO at the time, General Hammond, and a Dr. Fraser, felt that to thaw you without the proper technology would probably kill you. They put you in a deep freeze until such time as the technology was developed to safely revive you.
I knew she looked familiar. I'm still waiting, folks, I briefly going off topic, but I'm waiting for Supernatural Season 5 to appear on my doorstep before I watch the season finale for Season 4, because they're just evil people. He doesn't say, he's still hoarse.
They've done a good job here, showing him just weak and vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got this Truss guy, played by Tom Butler.
I don't think he's done much genre work, has he?
The usual man to Canadian actor, son, which is pretty much everything that's been shot in Canada.
It's still like a limited pool of actors they just recycle.
You can disconnect him from these machines for a limited time, can't you, Doctor?
For an hour or so. But he needs the romantic infusion for his tissues to recover properly.
Well, I'll have him back in less than an hour.
What I love about this is, you know, this. I know I'm spoiling within an episode, but they discover, hang on, it's just a couple of corridors and the gate room. And I'm thinking, yes, but that's the actual set. Oh my God, we're a TV show. There's just a couple of corridors.
There's no place like home, sir. How many SG teams are there now, sir?
28 here on Earth, another 10 occupying off-world colonies.
So we finally did that, huh? Populated other planets?
Affirmative.
General, what happened to my team?
They didn't make it.
I got that. They didn't make it back through the gate, didn't survive the thawing process. What?
Their bodies were sent back, but they were already dead. I'm sorry, Colonel. It was a long time ago.
I suppose our Truska's face has... Trofsky?
Is it Trofsky?
According to the transcript, it's actually Trofsky, which sounds like a bad joke on a Russian name.
When it starts off, you think it would be Russian, but he's not.
Hmm.
I mean, they're saying they're about 80 years ahead, but you think, okay, they've made some effort at making the uniform a little bit more modern and communication device, and looks like a rather large mobile phone on his hip.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't the ramp from that angle look really short?
I don't know, really.
Hmm.
There seems a lot of room behind him.
Well, it's empty. But
normally it's full of guns and lockers.
Well.
And people running around like headless chickens. And Peter DeLuise poking his head around and smiling at the camera.
That was last episode.
Yeah.
But I don't remember anything after we stepped through that gate.
Can you think of any reason why the Gould might have saved your life and sent you back?
Certainly not their MO.
We feel whoever did help you was able to beat back the Gould in order to do so. We'd love to know who could do that.
Trofsky's implying that the Gould haven't been beaten. Beated?
Beated. Beaten or defeated or wiped from existence?
Yeah, that's a Doctor Who reference, isn't it?
Is it? Oh, cool.
The episode that was on this week.
That ornament that's on his chest, it looks like the fan from a modern graphics card.
The thing that's supposed to be the communication device. Yeah, isn't that all a rip-off of Star Trek Next Generation's combadge? Not even slightly.
Well, no? The uniform has echoes of Babylon 5, at least to me it does.
Oh, it does. The shoulder pads and the sort of... but it's not echoes of the... It's the episode... It's echoes of the post-Breakaway from Earth.
Yeah. Yeah, the black uniforms. Mm.
The technology was a gift from the Tok'ra.
We're still friends with them, huh?
Oh, yes. It's been quite a beneficial alliance.
Just not much help in the outpost colonies, I take it?
No.
Ow! God, what is that?
Oop.
This is gonna hurt.
Not a lot, but... Yeah, she likes inflicting pain.
Well, it's not that. You get the impression that pulling out might remove not unsignificant amount of grey matter.
She's glued it in there. It ain't coming out.
As a Tok'ra explained it, this device stimulates the memory centers of your mind and then amplifies it. Sort of like a capacitor for thoughts. And when it's hooked up to this device here, it projects what the mind's eye is seeing holographically.
Is she sort of filling in... Is she our version of Dr. Fraser?
Yeah, I imagine she's made out to be the chief medical officer of Stargate Command.
Even though she very clearly isn't. Well, we don't know that yet, do we?
No.
All is waiting for... But, I mean... Okay, I admit I'm asking you to go back to the first time you saw this. But did you get the impression something was a bit off?
Well, even back then, you realise that you can't claim that the other three stars of the series are dead and not see something coming. And it is the season finale.
Yes.
And cliffhangers, even from the days of Buster Crabbe playing Flash Gordon, you know.
The Nox did.
Okay, the Nox. Were they medically advanced?
I want one of them.
Yeah, that's a flat panel, isn't it?
Although there could be some ghosting. Is it sort of rotating gently from side to side? Oh, it's the Nox. Let's not mention the Nox, shall we? Were they this season or were they last season? I've sort of suppressed the memory of the episode in the commentary.
So were first season.
Oh, thank God. I don't think we see them again for about 5 seasons. Oh, I see. I'm sorry. The way the edges of the, quote, screen, unquote, are rotating, it gave me the impression it was moving to the right.
They could make themselves invisible.
Not just themselves.
Before you go, O'Neill, there is something we would have you see.
Yes, floaty city. I see a floating city, and what I want to see is Brian Blessed with wings.
I think you said that when we did this episode.
Quite possibly. And I'm giving serious consideration tonight to, rather than watching the man from Earth, sitting down and looking at Flash Gordon with the Brian Blessed audio commentary on.
Which is being released on Blu-ray around the world as we speak.
Convenient timing.
It's out in Germany. I think it comes out in the US next week and the UK maybe the week after.
Well, the SPN season 5, she was in. You see, I'm linking. Making a faintly irrelevant. Comes out in the States on June 10th. So given Amazon's post ahead of time policy, I expect it to arrive on Tuesday.
Themselves invisible. Could be a very powerful weapon against the Gould, could it not?
Probably. But they'd never use it in that manner. The Nox wouldn't even fight in self-defense.
Can you think of anyone else who could have defeated the Gould?
The Asgard.
The Asgard ship. Big. Oh, yeah. You really like this ship.
Yes, I'll just sit back and relax and have a quiet moment.
I don't know what to do with that statement. I'm not totally sure where you were going there. Let's just gently draw a veil.
An Asgard mothership. I've heard them described in Jaffa legend.
The first time you were watching this, you'd be thinking, come on, what's going on? Really, clip shows really work. They always come across as cheap.
With the exception of the one in season 8 or 9, I think.
What was that? Oh. Was that Cameron with his mate using that memory device?
No, that was the barber.
Oh, you're thinking of the barber one, are you?
Yeah, I'm thinking of the barber one.
Oh, right.
That were a good clip show.
Citizen Joe.
Yes, thank you. Okay. But I don't know if you want to chop that bit out.
Well, no. I mean, what can you say about... Oh, it's a recap. See our episode such and such for what we thought of it. And I think we've said this before when they've had another clip show. Too many clip shows. We're only at the end of the second season.
It is strange that they'd sort of... I mean, is it a budgetary thing?
It always is. Always a budget.
I'm wondering, did they actually spend most of the budget? Because I recall a lot of action in part 2.
It depends if...
Because I imagine they filmed the season finale and... part two together.
It would be easier.
Even if they don't get renewed.
We can check the race styles for another continuity.
And presuming that they don't make part one a sort of Back to the Future, part two, utterly confusing thing. You know, far too much temporal mechanics in that film. Confused the poor kids. But this is kind of... Asgard was... You know, this didn't really make a better episode to do our State of the Podcast on. Actually, Asgard being a bit
This was episode 14, which was a good one. That was episode 3, which wasn't very good.
And the ancients, the builders of the Stargates.
That's a pretty heady group.
Your race has much to prove before we may interact on that level.
Look. You all seem to be quite wonderful people. But you folks should understand that we're out there now. And we might not be ready for a lot of this stuff. We're doing the best we can.
Truth be told, they're picking good moments to show.
Yeah, but having sort of done this nearly every week for the past, 9 months, seeing this stuff again, if I suppose it had been... I suppose we are actually watching it technically timed as broadcast.
Yeah.
Are they all animatronics? Holy crap.
No, I imagine they're CGI'd.
I thought they had only sort of spotty CGI at this point.
Well, at this resolution, that's all you need.
He looks kind of stoned, doesn't he?
Yes, they're really pumping him with some decent drugs.
Oh, yes, this with the...
Ernest.
And we're back to season one again.
What is this place?
I believe this room is some sort of meeting place where four alien races, denoted by the symbols and distinctive writing on the walls, would gather, possibly to share knowledge or discuss relations like a United Nations of the Stars.
I mean, from a... And I'm not revealing anything that's not within the episode. This is fantastic intel for the Gould.
It is, isn't it? It's pure gold.
Or pure Gould. Sorry, I couldn't resist it.
Yeah, just please list all the most advanced races you've encountered.
Sure, the ones who could possibly kick our asses.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Daniel, does this mean anything?
Well, if this was a mecca of sorts, an alien United Nations, this has to mean something.
Pretty atoms. Completely theoretical, of course. And Daniel is, vague. It's a little difficult to talk about something that we've seen already and talk. I'm trying to find new and or interesting things to talk.
Iron, barium, xenon.
Of course! How do you ensure universal communication? You reduce a method of communication to the most basic elements common to everyone and everything that exists in the universe. Jack, this is a true universal language.
Now, I suppose Jack would know hydrogen because if he's interested in astronomy, he knows what stars are made out of.
Yeah, I was going to say, it depends. Chemistry might have been one of his favourite subjects at school.
Does Jack really strike you as a chem major?
Probably not, but...
Jack strikes me as the sort of football-playing guy who used to be up the chem majors for lunch money.
Well, I can remember the first time I saw the periodic table and someone said, sooner or later you'll know that by heart. You just look at him and go, yeah, right.
Resume later.
Malfunction, and...
Oh, how considerate.
She's injected him. Is that an epinephrine pen? It could actually be, because I've seen epinephrine pens, and they're about that size.
Oh.
Oh, now we have blue. We had green earlier.
It's actually purple, a bit more purple.
Yes, I'm sorry. It looked blue briefly.
Not very subtle, is it, really? Good job he is out of it.
Yes, and is this where we get the reveal?
And now you think, that's not this, you see?
No, because they don't have multiple cryo chambers. And I believe, in memory serves, this is Carter.
No.
It's not Carter?
No, it's the other one.
Yeah, shame. Because I thought I could kind of see into the tank there.
It's
okay, Dr. Jackson. You're in the SGC. You're going to be fine.
I bet they use that scene twice, of her hands.
Oh, yeah.
Good, Daniel, you can do a full torso shot of me, lads.
Well, they did a massive... Actually, no, they didn't. They didn't go as low on Jack, did they?
Not on Jack, no, they didn't.
They didn't show Jack's nipples. Daniel has nipples.
Yeah, and Daniel's saying, look at this, this is beautiful.
So, now, what I'm saying is, why can't we do that on character?
It's okay, Dr. Carter. You're in the SGC. You're going to be fine.
Steve, I'm afraid they didn't make a captain. I'm sorry.
We barely get the top surface. You could see it there, and you can't actually see.
Yeah, either Carter is much shorter than the two lads, so she's further into the tube. Mm-hmm. Or the bloke pulling the little coffin open was told, this far and no more.
A line must be drawn here.
Quite literally. Could I draw the line, please,
that's the actual lifty, attachy bit. And we have... Are they meant to be ECGs?
Some sort of brainwave activity.
Well, of course he is. We're merely trying to stimulate the region of your memory that involves doing battle with the Gould. It might help us in our current battles.
Okay, well, we did fight the Gould a lot.
Tell me how you defeated Apophis.
Oh, good save. I mean, there's lots of areas where they slip up and you think, did they catch that? Did they catch that?
Yeah.
But they don't seem to.
They seem to have plugged her into the memory technology a lot sooner.
No messing. 80 years into the future, I expect something other than a keyboard.
Well...
And LCD monitors.
Sarcophagus.
I suppose if they showed the same process for Jack, Sam and Daniel, then it'd be a three-parter.
Well, not only that, it'd be even more boring than it is.
Indeed.
As season finales go, we're 18 minutes in. I mean, I'm sorry, this isn't a patch on the episode we commented on last week.
It isn't, is it?
It's like, you know, clip show. It's all set up, but it's... I think it's a stretch to make this a two-parter.
They could have, you know, shown scenes taking all three out at the same time. Then I've Jack think of the Asgard, Daniel think of the Nox, Sam of Apophis, and done it in half the time.
Well, not only that, I mean, what they could have done was, in fact, by now, when we're nearly halfway through the episode, we could have actually had, okay, we've got the reveal, they find each other, and we go on to what becomes part two.
Yeah.
It's definitely as... Was this the end of the time on Showtime?
No, much later.
Oh, yeah. This is actually one of my favorite Jack scenes. Just, oh, yes, we must do this and this and this and climb down X number of decks and wee.
Of course, if it misjudged the heights, they could have exploded well before the shield generators.
Yes.
Shield generators are far below. There. In the very bowels of the ship. We must climb down several decks. Through the length of the ship. Then taking our weapons, we must...
Is this the point that Jack says punch it?
Sam deals.
Yeah. C4. It's worrying to think that, you know, a sort of basic earth explosive can so damage...
Well, explosives are explosives, aren't they? You know, we've come a long way, but they basically only do the same thing. Unstable atoms, which ultimately rip themselves apart. Mm-hmm. And you think of the energy conduits running through that ship, make a nuclear power station look like a kiddie toy.
Our time is up. We have got to go.
Punch it.
Ah, Sheldon in Big Bang Theory.
Big Bangs, yeah.
And those ships don't look good.
They look lucky this happened before we shut down the shuttle program, or the Americans shut down the shuttle program.
Yes, we.
Yeah, because I don't want doors.
Yeah, because obviously it's a worldwide thing, you know. Cousin Kevin works on the boosters.
Well, there seems to be a lot of them. So kind.
Pick you up a tower. You have taken what is mine. For this, you will be destroyed.
Arrow
challenge me?
Just thinking about it.
You'll pay for this insolence!
And then, of course, there's Hathor. She almost succeeded in doing some pretty big damage.
We must praise you and gift you a great honor.
Yeah, I'm sure they'd be just great, but not right.
Daniel doesn't look right with short hair.
Here or there?
There.
That's not short hair.
No.
That.
Not him, there. You've seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show, haven't you?
Oh, several times.
He looks like that bloke who runs around with the short blonde hair and the shorts on all the time.
Yeah, Rocky. I can't remember who plays him. Fairly well known. Daniel looks incredibly young with short hair.
He does, doesn't he?
He looks a bit 22. Little baby. You want to say, okay, Daniel, you just got to...
Yeah.
You've had about 4 or 5 pints, you're a little bit. Why did you just want a bit? You're relaxed, Daniel.
Yeah, I was reading that Jack...
Is this Jack meeting Hathor now, or is this a memory of Jack meeting
the memory.
Hathor?
This is when Jaffa...
Oh, Jaffa'd him.
Yeah.
Can Jaffa be used as a verb?
You use it any way you want.
You really don't want to say that to me.
He will cherish the good health and long life that goes with being.
Hathor's first new Jafar.
Oh, that scene is such a letdown.
What, you mean when she whips the thing off?
Well, yeah, she whips it off and she's got something else on underneath. Anyway, yeah, I read that Richard Dean Anderson really hates the Hathor character.
Really?
Yeah. Has no problem with Suanne Braun, the actress. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't like the Hathor character.
Does he not like strong women?
I don't know. An interview, Jonathan Glasner says, sorted this story out.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to him and laid it all out and said, mm-hmm. It's going to be, brace yourself. Mm-hmm. I thought, like.
I don't think so.
You have failed us, our love. You will not fail us again.
And Sam steps up.
And how is it suddenly on fire?
It's probably something to do with the chemicals that she's secreting into the liquid.
Let's go, move.
That's still a good effect, though. And you see her climb out of the fire, the flames, and like the silhouette or flickering. A jacuzzi would have been better than
a sort of... What is that?
I don't know what the technical term would be. It's just...
It's a metal thing with boiling water.
Yeah. You see them a lot in American sports movies. I think Major League had one which had an outboard motor in.
Oh.
What about General Hammond?
Well, I'm happy to report he lived to a ripe old age of 93.
So everyone I ever knew basically is gone.
I'm afraid so.
So we no longer have... I mean, this is a major shock for me. This is a major reveal for this episode. Daniel and Carter are no longer hair twins.
No.
Daniel's actually got short. Is this the point at which... I wonder, was Daniel starting to seriously walk out and he said, do the full torso shot. I'm starting to look a bit buff now.
Yeah.
You know, because he obviously, he looked at sort of him.
Easy, easy.
Where are the rest of SG-1?
Good question. We were hoping you could tell us.
At last. Teal'c.
Teal'c.
And of course, you get the same line. You're in the SGC. And for a brief second, you wonder, hey, what's going on? And then, oop.
Teal'c started wondering what the hell hit him that actually made him unconscious. I presume he doesn't actually sleep.
Well, I suppose being in a coma for best part of a month counts.
Hmm.
They found you lying next to the Stargate. There was no trace of Colonel O'Neill, Captain Carter, or Dr. Jackson. We assume they were captured.
You have no memory of this, Teal'c?
I do. It was a mixture of horse and serpent guards. A very unusual combination.
Serving what, Gould?
That I do not know.
It's a pity we didn't see this battle.
Yeah, well, effects budget didn't stretch.
I'm sure they could have cut enough scenes from other battles and made it look like they did with the old Star Trek, just reverse the film so it looks like instead of coming from the left to the right, they come from the right to the left.
Cynic.
Well, that's what they did in Star Trek. It worked for them.
Yes, but it's Star Trek, I mean. This is SG-1. This is an entirely different show.
Teal'c, you've been unconscious for 3 weeks.
That is not possible. My symbiote would have awakened me long before the period of 3 weeks.
You were barely alive, Teal'c. With substantial internal injury.
Dr. Frazier spent most of the 3 weeks at your side. I'm convinced it was her refusal to give up that kept you alive.
I am in your debt, Dr. Frazier. General Hammond, permit me to return to this planet to search out my friends. If their bodies were not found by my side, then they are prisoners.
If they're prisoners, they're long gone from that planet. We sent out UAVs, balloons, our best rescue teams, found nothing but scorched earth. There was no trace of them. They could be moved to any ghoul stronghold. You'd be searching for a needle in a very large haystack.
Perhaps. But I must try.
Teal'c, I understand your desire to do something, anything for SG-1. I feel the same way. But I cannot expend any more resources on this. I'm sorry. Request denied.
Ooh, that's General putting his foot down. It's always been a little sticking point. What can they do with Teal'c if he ever decided to leave? And so far, always let him go. It makes you wonder why they didn't make sure they finished Teal'c off. Apophis aside, I imagine that every system lord would see him as a threat that needs to be eliminated. And I can't believe they looked at his body and said, oh, he's dead. Because they wouldn't. They'd rip out the symbiote.
General Hammond. I hereby respectfully inform you that I must take my leave of the SGC. Therefore, I am no longer under your command.
I can't allow you to do that. You represent too great a security risk.
General Hammond, I would die before divulging any information concerning this world. I believe you know that.
Yes, I do.
I will depart in 1 hour.
I forgot Janet were there. You couldn't see her behind them. I say, obeying orders doesn't work if the bloke doesn't consider himself to be part of the military. He looks upset.
It's hard to tell with Teal'c. You mean he looks less stoic?
Teal'c leans over, picks him up, puts him behind him, drops him down. Teal'c wouldn't hit him, but he would literally physically lift him up and move him out of the way.
Yeah, but, well, Teal'c is capable of that. I don't think the actor is.
Well, he put the general on a little lift, you know, a little pump truck. And...
oh, he's squeezing the... Oh,
he knows. He's figured it out. And the liquid's turned blue, because that looks a lot bluer than it did purple.
It looks neon.
You'd fancy that going into your system. God. Oh, that's good. Just left one person on guard.
Well, the man is drugged up to the eyeballs.
Ah, yeah, but... You always put two people on guard, at the very least.
Yes, at least 10 meters apart and both armed.
Yeah, inbuilt crossfire. Make sure you can't take both out.
He not only pulled the tubes, he pulled out the device as well. Shouldn't he be bleeding at this point?
Connection lost. Yeah. Code blue emergency.
He's remarkably frisky, isn't he? And we are dialing the proper gate as opposed to the fake one they've got back in...
you can say that ramp does look a hell of a lot longer there.
Yeah. Now, maybe it was deliberate because they want you to sense something off.
Yeah. Oh, that's subtle, isn't it? The idea that they made the other gate slightly different so it wouldn't feel right.
Teal'c, you will be missed.
I have learned much from you, General Hammond. For that, I thank you.
Chevron 6 attached.
I've learned a lot from you, too, Teal'c. So we're even on that count.
Chevron 7, locked.
Take care of yourself.
I mean, that's a fairly cheap effect to do, and you don't need to be aware of it, consciously aware of it, just that doesn't look right.
Well, I said that when I saw it. We're going with Teal'c as monk here, aren't we? It's very much sort of yeah. Trappist kind of, you know, you've got the robes, you've got the staff. It's kind of
Yeah, unfortunately, it's a directed energy-based weapon. You know, it's not quite...
With a little blue power crystal, as I think we found out at some point, didn't we, in this season?
It was a neon yellow, wasn't it? Check the towels. Did he nick out?
Why ain't that steaming still?
They stood there a long time.
They stood there for about 4 seconds.
Well, they cut out a hell of a lot. Yeah, the general broke down into tears, then had to stand up and adjust himself and wipe his tears away, and then dismissed.
Adjust himself?
I know, I didn't want to say that, but it kept coming out.
Right. Because I'm sorry, there's only one possible connotation to that. So you're saying the general and Terrell threw down in a desperate soldier brief over the departure of Teal'c. Oh, dear.
That's not right.
No, he's looking for the little twisty panel amongst the 300 other twisty panels.
Just opens by itself.
Oh, a Hitchcock's gnome.
Ooh, very nice effect.
Yeah, but that is what it's called.
I know it is.
I know, but we're telling our audience.
Well, I'm making sure they know that I know.
Fair enough. Smart.
Well, we've talked about it before in another episode. See,
we're recapping as well.
Ourselves. Oh, look at that expression. Would you believe it, Jack? I know.
Oh, serpentine horror guards.
Yep.
And where
I know, Jack. That actually worked.
What? You hit just, behind the pillar? Yeah. Well, let's face it, with those helmets, how much peripheral vision have you got?
Yeah, he's amazed it works. He's amazed that there are two different sects of gods.
That was sects, people. S-E-T-C-S. Not anything else we might have thought. I'm assuming all Jafar are male. Because I'm not... Oh, no, actually. No, that's spoiling. That's not... But we haven't far seen a female Jafar.
Yeah, we have. Well, in the revised Children of the Gods, we have.
Have we?
Yeah. Apophis had a female god that was killed in the battle, and so they had their body on the autopsy slab, along with a male.
Okay, so I don't know if that counts. Why doesn't he try taking it out?
Yeah, probably because he saw how much it hurt to put it in.
He's gone back in. Why do I get the impression he's going to get in trouble?
Well, it's not that same room, is it? It was a different elevator door, which leads him to this.
Didn't it say K5?
Yeah, but that K5 should be on the base.
Hmm.
You know, it's like three different complexes, all identical, surrounded by the this, I assume it's a planetary base. But is he was in one unit, Sam's in another, and Daniel's in another one.
Ooh, this is going to hurt.
Is he going to give him any warning? Nope.
He's thinking about it. He's thinking about it.
Carter.
Oh, apparently not.
And he falls straight into Sam's lap. Call her Sam.
Call me a fool, but I wouldn't wake her just yet.
Now, I'm sorry, but she looks deformed from this angle. There's a very...
She doesn't
look deformed. Not from that angle, no.
Sorry? Not from that angle. Yeah. She looks quite nice from that angle. I like that angle. I'm a fan of that angle.
I mean, it looks like she's got some sort of restraining band across her chest.
It was right through his shoulder into the concrete.
Yeah. These things have a nasty habit of going off when you least expect it. Try not to think too much. They're cold, Carter.
Daniel Teal'c.
Now, this is actually pretty good because it's, you know, when you said, what exactly did he say? You're not following the transcript now, are you?
She says, I thought you were dead.
Yeah, that's it. It triggered
said
the memory.
Carter. About three times.
Yeah.
So, naturally enough, it triggers a memory of something happening to him.
Yes, yeah, the changing room scene when Sam was...
No, that didn't show me that.
Yes. We all know what you're thinking, Jack.
Why is he whispering? He clubbed your man unconscious. Now, why can't we just stay on Carter for a little longer?
She'd been lying on that bed a while, though, because the pattern had imprinted into her back.
You were looking at her back.
What can I say? It's handy that one size fits all.
Yes.
Wow. This looks just like...
Don't think about it. You'll set that thing
in pretty deep.
Yeah, you're right. Pulling them out might cause some pretty nasty collateral damage.
Yeah, we don't want that.
Whoever designed these ships with all these hiding places, it's ridiculous.
And don't the guards ever look from side to side?
And they're clumping about. They always, you know, if there's anybody hiding on the ship, they give them so much warning.
Clunk, clunk, clunk.
Just imagine if they break into a bit of a tap dance. Clunk, 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 clunk. That's a...
I'm sure someone's done it.
Apophis, the gay system lord's ship.
Oh, for God's sake.
There was a book I read, Darwarts. Mm-hmm. The Navy had so much trouble with heterosexual and homosexual crews that they split them into two. They had a gay Navy and a straight Navy. And the straight Navy had grey battleships and the gay Navy had multicoloured ones. If you're a smuggler, never get caught by the gay Navy. Although if you're that way inclined, you'd have a really good time.
Hugs. Big hugs, I'd say so. I have more questions, but that can wait. Yeah.
I like that line from Daniel. I have more questions, but that can wait.
Let's dig in.
Cost cutting.
Cost cutting
budgets. It's always budget, Jack. We've said that.
Horus and serpent guards.
What? Horus and serpent? That's kind of an odd alliance, isn't it?
Just the doors. Nothing actually behind them. Probably much like the real thing.
Yeah.
I've never seen this place so deserted.
I don't think it's a real gate.
It's a plastic one, isn't it, that they take walkabout.
But I think he actually...
It's fake.
Did he kick it there?
Kicks it, yeah. And who wouldn't? He breaks his toe.
Well, no, he said he kicked it with his heel.
I don't understand. Who would have spent enough time in the base to be able to reproduce it in this kind of detail?
Oh, I'm sorry. That haircut is so wrong.
You don't think Apophis...
Silence!
Oh, no. Cloaking.
Ooh.
What an entrance.
Oh, I was so hoping never to see you again.
Heartfelt lamentation by Jack.
Yes, because certainly Richard feels it.
But we have indeed missed you, our beloved.
Daniel, don't let her breathe on you.
It's almost as if they were waiting to pounce on him. Yeah, Daniel was the first one she fancied, wasn't he? And she only went to Jack because Daniel had eye problems or allergies.
Do you like our guards? We managed to lure them from the remote outposts of our enemies.
Could argue that perhaps Hathor is the most dangerous because of her ability to
create new ones
and co-opt existing ones.
We are quietly building our forces before the system lords even know that we are alive. But doing so is difficult when we have to operate with limited knowledge of the state of the Empire.
If she's left to her own devices, she could literally have millions of Jafar and hundreds of ships.
But that's where we come in, right?
We know more than you do.
Perhaps. We are prepared to offer you a life of luxury as servants in our royal port for sharing information.
Life of luxury, but your servants. I don't think they go together.
Yes, the term gilded cage tends to imply. Well, so that's the thing. Once we actually got over the clips, the rest of the episode just trotted along quite nicely.
It does, doesn't it?
And suddenly we're at 42 minutes, and we've got at least a minute of credit sequence.
How do we contact the Asgard so that we might align with their forces?
Try Roswell. Little place in New Mexico.
I can't believe Hathor would believe the Asgard would even consider being allied. Although at this, she knows about the Asgard anyway, unless she's been out of the loop for so long, she's still not sure about them.
Yeah,
but well, they have their protected planets.
She was out of the loop for several millennia.
But you have a feeling the Asgard have been around a lot longer than that,
mm-hmm.
and have set up their protected planets.
If you will not give us the information that we desire, we do have another means of retrieving it.
Oh, Chippendales?
No, it's you can actually see the line across the shoulders where the chest piece joins.
An opportunity has presented itself at a most fortuitous time.
Squelchy, squelchy.
Our friend here is ready for a host. Tell us, which one of you shall it be?
Now, that's a little better from the original puppet they use in Children of the Gods.
That's CG, I'd say.
Yes.
It looked CG-ish. Why hasn't the Jafar collapsed yet?
Well, he can live for a while without a symbiote, Teal'c has.
Suddenly TBC. No, sorry, going.
Jack blows out. I think that was a long episode. We've got 3 months off, Jack.
Woohoo. What?
They had, between filming.
I'm sure Jack enjoyed part two. I'm sure Richard did, anyway. I suppose good and bad in more or less equal measure. I was complaining 19 minutes in that it was going so slowly.
Yeah, pretty much so, because all the outtakes and the clips, you know, they just bore you to tears. Even if you like the episode shown, you're thinking, get on with it, please. Because you know there's something going on beyond the obvious. And you're just waiting for the writers to let the ball drop. Mm-hmm. And when they finally do, then everything kicks off.
And suddenly the last 20 minutes are like, what? Oh,
yeah, it just flies by.
And that, folks, is pretty much it for season two. Further than, and certainly faster than I thought we were going to do it.
Well, you claimed we could do two seasons a year, and I think you may be right.
Well, we're not even halfway through the year.
Yeah, and we got off to a slow start at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, because there were various problems where we started to record and things just went horribly pear-shaped. The contact info, which is come up here if you need to get a hold of us. There are 3 primary methods of getting in contact with us. You can go with email, which is gatecast@phasecast.com. You can join, and please do join, our Facebook group, which is it's the Gatecast on Facebook. And we're now on Twitter. And as I said on the actual Gatecast group, we will, and well, primarily me, will sort of tweet during the episode, and I'll keep an eye on the webpage so that if we get anything in, you can comment. It's probably the fastest and most direct way of feedback, because if something is said, I'll say it when it pops up and we might comment on that. You might even distract us from a particularly boring part of an episode.
Sounds like a great idea. Whether or not it'll work in practice is a different matter.
It really depends upon us getting a certain critical number of people listening and following. So, folks, perhaps a new poll. Is Vancouver the science fiction capital of the North American continent?
Well, what are the options? Yes. Definitely.
Yes.
Most certainly.
Yes, definitely. What's Canada? Or yes, definitely. And what state is that in?
Yeah. North America. Is that Washington?
Well, technically, there are bits of America that are north of bits of Canada.
Yes, there are, yeah.
And I don't just mean Alaska, if some smart ass decides to respond with that. That's pretty much it, folks. We actually got feedback. Yay.
Yeah, we're speechless.
Indeed.
Our friend Stephen sent us a message via Facebook in regards to the season finale and apologising for being too busy to send us more. No need to apologise, because we all know that real life comes first, although at times it's a close call. He says, "From what I remember, it is a good episode, with a nice cliffhanger, and it introduces the memory devices that are seen in future seasons. It will probably be easier to talk about the two parts together. I so look forward to the second part as well." Stephen's right. While the finale gets into the stride halfway through, the second part, which is the season 3 premiere, is really needed to elevate the whole story up a couple of notches. Next, a thank you to recent new members of the Gatecast Facebook group. Welcome to Lorna, Sherry and Matthew, and as always, an open invitation to offer us feedback of any sort. Not that joining the group isn't in itself very pleasing.
Come try ya!
You've just joined Stargate Universe Facebook group, haven't you? You want to promote that a bit?
Oh, that's my friend's SGU group, Lorna. I've asked her to... Can't actually recall the details of it. Let me click home.
Preparation is the key to everything, folks.
What?
UK Stargate Universe fans.
On the subject of Stargate Universe, this counts as a spoiler for the episode of Stargate Universe, so you might want to skip forward about 2-3 minutes, but this is just something. I want to see if anyone else spotted this. It was the one that was on Sky One last Tuesday, which would have been, well, basically the day before yesterday, the 1st of June. Well, if you recall, there's a point at which Rush is trying to ditch the SO that's been sent to escort him.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm going into the apartment, I might be a while. And the SO holds up a book. Did you spot the book? No. Okay, I admit I only watched it last night, so it's still fairly fresh. It was actually Old Man's War by John Salzik.
Oh, in that case, then, no, I didn't.
You'd remember that.
No, because even if I'd seen the book title, I wouldn't have known the significance of it.
It actually came free with my first Sony ebook reader.
Oh, right.
And I read it, and it's actually quite a good book. And I was thinking, because it leaves off on stuff, and you're kind of thinking, I discovered then there were actually more books in the series. It is the opener of a series, which is something Aaron's complained about, because you can't just go out anymore and buy a book.
No,
it's like three of 12.
It's not a problem if you like the series. But of course, if you start a series midway through, then you're looking for used copies or looking on eBay to pick up copies, because it's been so long out of print.
Or as I did when I discovered, I walked into Chapters, a bookstore in Dublin, and discovered at a price of, I think, $3.99, the first 8 Wheel of Time books. So I thought, it's a gamble, but screw it. If I buy all 8, it's maybe 5 or 6 euro more than what it would cost me. I think it was $2.99, actually. Might be $3.99. It's about maybe a tenner more than new hardback would cost me.
Yeah.
So if I enjoy it, it's worth it. If I don't, oh, screw it. I could do with some material for starting the fire anyway. And it were good for about 8.5 books. And I got book 9. And then I went out and paid full price for book 10, thinking on the setup at the end of book 9 that this would be it. Because the way book 9 was set up, it gave you the impression he was going to wrap the whole thing up in the next book.
But he didn't.
No, nothing happened.
Huh.
One character spent an entire chapter having a bath. 43 pages. And not even interesting. Robert Jordan, damn you.
You said you've been listening to Sci-Fi Dig, the episode with David J. Williams on.
Oh, the Outer Main trilogy, yes.
Yeah I've read the first book of that.
I'm interested in picking it up.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad at all.
How would you categorise it?
It's certainly hard sci-fi.
So
it's not as complex as some of the stuff
More Alistair Reynolds than Ian Banks?
Yeah, probably.
You've not read either of it?
Yeah, I got one you told me about. What was it?
The Reynolds or the Banks?
Reynolds.
Ah, yeah, well, that's proper sci-fi, that is.
Yeah, it's not in the same league as that, but it's certainly not pulp sci-fi. You go through the book lightning fast, it just doesn't let up. Right from the opening chapter, so much is happening. It'd make a fantastic TV movie, because it's all visual. But what a screwed up world it is.
So perhaps, actually it's interesting, because the following week he had another author on who said he didn't do dystopias. He liked his futures to be bright and pretty. Anyway, I need to wander off because dinner has processed through me and wants to exit. Thank you for listening to season 2. Go to Facebook, go to our Twitter, send us email, insult us. It doesn't matter if you're upset by what we say. In fact, if it encourages you to give feedback, more power to you. We do like feedback, and we'd like more of it from you. But thank you for listening, and thank you for downloading, and feel free to come back next week. I apologise for any errors in the feed. It's not our fault. It's all WordPress.
Of course it is. It's uncanny how many other people don't have problems, though.
I must check some other WordPress sites. And email them and ask them how to fix it.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, folks. Tune in for the end of season episode, and then season 3.
No hiatus. We're going to keep on trucking.
It's the only way to go, because if we stop for a week or two, we might stop for another couple of weeks or two. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Gatecast, presented by Alan, Mike and Scott. Visit us at gatecast.facecast.com.